you brought your Bibles, please open to Matthew chapter 6. That song is really a nice lead-in right for where I'd like to go this morning. As we focus on prayer today, depending on God in prayer, we're sort of a little over halfway through now our series called Life, which we've been looking at Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, which we find in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. In these chapters, we find some really, really practical ways in which we can live life in ways in which God actually calls us to live life. It's not just really some sort of suggested ideas that we can take it or leave it. We are supposed to listen to it and then live it. We are supposed to follow the things that God asks us to do here, I believe, in the Sermon on the Mount. And I want to just leave you again with a sentence that we talked about last week. In order to do what Jesus says, in order to be able to do all of these things that he says in here, things like love your enemies and pray for those who use you, spitefully use you and curse you, and to turn the other cheek and to go the extra mile, and in order to do all of these things, we have to depend on who Jesus is. There's no way to do it. There's no way to live the Christian life. There's really no way to depend on Him, to honestly be able to sing a song like Dwayne just sang, Lord, I need You. I need You. There's no way to do that unless you lean into who He is. Because in our flesh, we don't have the desire to do those kinds of things. We have the desire to do the things that we want to do, which honestly isn't turning the other cheek. And it isn't going the other mile. And it certainly isn't forgiving those who have wronged us. But if we lean into who Jesus is, if we depend on who He is, we're able to do that which He asks us to do. So the Sermon on the Mount, really the Bible, is not a collection of rules and guidelines that you and I have to follow in order to get into any sort of club or in order to get into any kind of special benefit sort of thing. We can't do them without Jesus. And so today we're going to sort of take a step back into the text that we kind of glossed over last week and focus in on this idea of prayer. Focus in on Jesus' teaching on prayer. He drops these verses right into the middle of the section that we looked at last week where he was talking about, hey, I don't want you to give to be seen before men. I don't want you to pray to be seen before men. I don't want you to fast in a way that other people know that you're fasting, because you get your reward then if people talk about you and say, wow, she's really spiritual. She's fasting today, or he's really spiritual. Listen to how he prays with all the syllables that he uses in his words. That's not what God is interested in. Jesus says, don't do that. Rather, do it so that others do not know about it, and then your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. And in the middle of that discussion on prayer, he says something that all of us are familiar, or many of us are familiar with. It's commonly referred to as the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer. In fact, then in Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, we have four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke are referred to as the Synoptic Gospels. They sort of give us an historical account of the life of Jesus. Luke actually repeats these words, and apparently Jesus repeated them about, or almost not word for word, but similar, about a year later when one of his disciples said, hey, teach us how to pray. And then in Luke records these very similar words. And they've become to known as the Lord's Prayer. And let's read this text and a couple of verses before it as we look at what many of you have heard about. Jesus said, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. And in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Most of you are already sort of just saying it in your heads, right? It's almost hard not to say it out loud. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So Jesus says about prayer in the middle of his discussion on prayer, he gives some instruction on prayer. And so what we're going to do is just kind of walk through this. And a couple things I want to set up right up front. And the first one is simply this. The Lord's Prayer was never intended to be a formula prayer. Jesus never intended for these words to be taken and used as some sort of magical potion or magical formula that we would pray to receive some sort of absolution or pardon from sin or that this would be a, you know, a prayer that you just say over and over and over again. We have those prayers, right? Things like, God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for our food, by His hands we are fed, give us all our daily bread. Yeah, it's a prayer. We pray it. We pray stuff like, what's the other example I was thinking? Oh, now I lay me down to sleep. You know, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die, which is, if you really think about that prayer, that's not one I want to teach my kids, all right? But anyway, we good-meaning people pray things like, you know, God bless the Cowboys and curse the Eagles. I mean, there's just things that good-meaning people pray from time to time that are, you know, we just pray them over and over again. But that's not what this is meant to be. It's not meant to be that. In fact, we know that because right before Jesus said to pray like this, He said this, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. So it's not a matter of just repeating words over and over and over again, expecting to get some sort of result because you've prayed these words. And so if that's how you perhaps, or you know people who use this prayer that way, it's not what Jesus desired. But there is so much we can learn from this prayer on how to pray. And that's what we're going to do today. Except there's even more than we can talk about. There's just not enough time to talk about all that's in His prayer. So I want to just sort of focus in on one particular idea, one particular word that has to do with this idea of prayer. So prayer is not committing words to memory, but rather communicating with God. That sort of goes along with that other idea. Prayer is not just committing words to memory. Prayer is communicating with God. Now, before we get into the meat of the prayer, we have one more thing we have to deal with. I've asked this question myself. You've probably asked this question. Why do we ask God for things in prayer when He already knows what we need? Have you ever wondered that? Why do we do this? I mean, when people do this to us, it drives us crazy. When you start a sentence, like you want to talk about something, and somebody jumps right in the middle. Oh yeah, I know about that. Let me finish that. It's like, no, I wanted to say that. You know, I wanted to finish my thought. Can you imagine if that's sort of what God would do with us in prayer? You know, dear God, what I really need You to give me... Oh, I know that. Stop. You don't have to talk anymore. You want me to give You a job. I got it. I know it already. Dear God, what really do... Oh, I know You want safety on the trip. I got that. I know it. You see, I know everything that You're going to ask me before You ask me. And yet the Bible, even the Lord's Prayer, or the model prayer, and the Bible is full of admonition and exhortation for us to ask God for things in prayer. So why do we ask God for things in prayer when He already knows what it is that we're going to ask? And He addresses that. For Your Father knows the things you have need of before you even ask Him. We talked back in Easter time about the fact that many people have quit on prayer. In fact, many people, we sort of talked about this idea, and I'm sure you don't remember, but we talked about this idea of when does prayer work? And that a lot of people have given up on prayer because prayer doesn't really work. At least it doesn't work as we think it's supposed to work. Because we've all prayed. In fact, if you're a regular prayer, your batting average is pretty low. The things that you ask God to do, if you're asking Him for specific things, often God does not do them. We ask for God to heal someone. God does not do that. We ask for God to give us a job. God does not do that. We ask for God to give someone else a job or to heal someone else. God does not do that. And what happens many times is people get to the point where they feel like, you know what, this just doesn't work. It doesn't work. I ask for stuff, I don't get it. I ask for things, I don't get back what I want. And I asked you to think about this sentence, and I went back and drew this out of my sermon several months ago, that prayer works when my attitude agrees with God, even when His actions don't agree with me. Prayer is not designed to be a grocery list. It's not designed to be something that we ask for a bunch of stuff that we automatically get. But we looked at this in the context of Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus said, "Look, Father, if it would be possible to take this cup from me, but if not, I will go to the cross," I'm paraphrasing the prayer. And what happens when we pray is that God isn't so much interested in the actions, but He wants our attitude to agree with His attitude. He wants us to be in agreement with Him, and that's what we see in the model prayer. That's what we see, and there's one particular word that I want us to focus on. And I'm getting to that word in just a minute. But also, I know this. Statistics say that many of you in this room simply do not pray. And I'm not talking about God is great, God is good. And I'm not talking about you praying that your boss is late to the office because you're late to the office. And I'm not talking about praying that the guy in front of you would please go 15 miles an hour faster because you would like to get to your destination. And I'm not talking about that kind of prayer. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about real conversation, real communication with God. And the statistics are really bleak about how many people actually spend any kind of time in the course of a day or in the course of a week actually talking to God. So take mental note in your own mind. I don't want you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. How much time in the last 6 weeks have you spent in prayer? Which is probably the most important thing that God asks you or I or any of His followers to do. How much? Now, we're going to get to the Word. Here's the big idea. Prayer is not demanding from God what we want, but prayer is depending on God for what we need. Prayer is not demanding from God what we want, but rather prayer is depending on God for what we need. And if you will grasp this, if you will understand this, it will free you from performance praying, and it will free you from feeling like, why am I doing this? Because I'm not getting what I'm asking for. And it will free you to be able to recognize, you know what? Really, what I need to do is I just simply need to pray because I want to depend on God. The God who created the universe, the God who sustains the universe, the God who provides everything that we need, everything that we have. I need to learn to depend on Him. And prayer helps me to depend on Him whom I should depend upon. When we see the main idea of prayer as deepening our dependence on God, we will desire to pray. When we see the main idea of prayer as deepening our dependence on God, we will desire to pray if we're a follower of Jesus. And if we're not a follower of Jesus, I hope that you will see that this God, this amazing God, wants you to depend on Him. And there's nobody else you can depend on who's like Him. There's nobody else who can come through every single time. There's nobody else who knows the future as God knows. There's nobody who really knows you better than God knows you. And so when we see the main idea of prayer as deepening our dependence on God, we will desire to pray. We will see it as necessary. We will see it as the air that we need to breathe. And it won't be something that we'll tack on the very beginning or the end of the day, or that we'll go days, weeks, months without ever truly doing. So I want you to look at this very familiar text through the frames of dependence. So let's look at the very beginning. I will depend on God, or I depend on God for His will to be done. I depend on God for His will to be done. The beginning of the prayer is, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I've never been to heaven, but I would imagine that in heaven, nothing happens in heaven that God doesn't want to happen. I mean, I'm pretty sure that's what the case. I've never been there. Hope to go there someday. Know I'll go there someday. But I'm pretty sure that in heaven there's not a group of protesters over in the corner, you know, advocating for more of this or doing more of that. I'm pretty sure there's not a rebel angel band running around somewhere trying to stir up trouble. I'm pretty sure that heaven goes smoothly in the way that God wants it to go. That's not so much the way it is here on earth. God is sovereign over anything that happens and everything that happens on earth. Nothing takes Him by surprise. But there is much that goes on earth that is not according to the perfect will of God. Because this world, this earth, is marred by sin. Your life and my life is marred by sin. Even if we've been redeemed through relationship with Jesus Christ, we still sin, and sin still impacts our world, and it impacts the world of those we love and the whole world in general. So we need to depend on God for His will to be done. And when we say, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, essentially what we're saying is, God, we want Your will, even if Your will is not the same as my will. I'm going to depend that Your will is better for me than mine if it's different than mine. So I'm going to pray and ask You for what I want, and I'm going to ask You for how I think this ought to work out, because that's all we can do We certainly will ask that we're healed. We certainly will ask that we get the job. We certainly will ask that we not endure great amounts of suffering. And those on the other, those that we know, we ask for the same things. We ask for safe travel. We ask for all of those things. It's right for us to ask. But right up front, Jesus says, right up front, before you begin anything else, just recognize that somebody else is in charge and depend on Him. So that when it may not turn out the way that we ask, and again, honestly, if we pray much, most of the time it doesn't, we will recognize that's still okay. Because we're going to depend on God's will to be done. And I promise you, you will not be disappointed if God has His way. You will not be disappointed if God has His way. Because He's God, and He loves you, and He cares about you. And He can't do anything to harm you. Number two, I depend on God for my daily needs. Very familiar, right? Give us this day our daily bread. I think we lose some of the significance of this in our culture because we have refrigerators. We have freezers. I have two of each. Many of you do as well. Some of you guys or ladies are out there hunting at this time of year hoping that you could fill your second freezer. But that's not the way most people live. And it certainly isn't the way that Jesus' audience lived when He said these words. They live from day to day. What you worked on Monday to buy Monday's dinner. And you made it and you ate it and that's all you had. There's no Greek word for pantry. Okay? It didn't exist. Right? There's nothing like that. And so there was this idea of give us this day our daily bread. There was a dependence upon God to provide for them each and every day. So they need to depend on God for my daily needs. But we have refrigerators. We have freezers. We have these things called bank accounts. Some people even have savings accounts. How do we manage this when we're not, most of you are not thinking, I'm not really sure what I'm going to have for lunch today. You might say that but you've got multiple choices. The word daily reinforces consistent dependence on God. Give us this day our daily bread. Give means dependence, because if somebody's giving you something, that means that they have it and you don't, and so you're depending on them to give it to you. And if it's daily, it's consistent. God, you need to give me my daily bread. Even if I've got a freezer full of food, or a refrigerator full of food, or a pantry full of stuff, I still need to understand that I depend on God for everything that I get each and every day. And praying like this, whether you use these words or not, is important because otherwise we forget that. And we think we really don't need God very much. Because we've got a job, and we've got money, and we've got a house, and we've got family, and we've got things. We don't really need Him, but we really do need Him. And so praying like this, not necessarily asking, maybe you don't even have a particular thing in mind. I've got whole wheat bread in mind. Give us. No, you don't think about that. It's you're depending on God and you're reinforcing that dependence upon Him. Otherwise, we're going to forget that. And we move on to other things. Number three, I depend on God for forgiveness. Part of this prayer says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. As God has forgiven us, we are to forgive those that have wronged us. We've spent a lot of time talking about this over the summer. This idea that when you come into a relationship with Jesus Christ digs a well of forgiveness in your life and fills it. And the only thing that you have to do as you forgive other people is draw that water out, draw that forgiveness out. You don't have to dig the well. You don't have to manufacture anything. You just have to give that from out of which has already been given to you. I believe this keeps people from praying. Because forgiveness is so important to the heart of God. I mean, that's why Jesus came, right? Jesus came to forgive us of our sins. And so if you're a person who is carrying a lot of grudges and you have a lot of unforgiveness issues in your life, I'm pretty sure that you're a person who doesn't pray that much. Because I'm pretty sure that when you get ready to pray, the very first thing God brings to your mind is what? Oh, I need to forgive that person. In Matthew he talks about this in the end in verse 14 and 15. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We have this other passage of Scripture that talks about if you bring your gift to the altar and you remember that your brother has something against you, that you're supposed to let your gift there, go resolve it with your brother, and then come back and worship. That fits perfectly with prayer, right? If you go into this time of prayer, you really want to have communication with God. God's going to bring to mind, wait a minute, you haven't forgiven so-and-so, and then you get stuck, and you really want to talk. You say, no, I don't want to talk about that, God. I don't want to deal with that issue. I just want to talk about our daily bread. I want to talk about how wonderful you are. God says, no, we really can't do that until you deal with this. And eventually, if that happens enough times, this sentence will work for you. If you don't deal with the issue of forgiveness, you will depart from prayer. You just stop praying. Because you get frustrated because God quits, stops. God consistently reminds you of this unforgiveness issue because that's what He knows is best for you. But you say, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. And so you watch TV or surf the internet or something like that. You don't want to have that kind of communication with God. That's why this is part of the prayer. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, because forgiveness is so important and we depend on Him to do that. Number four, I depend on God for guidance. See how this word depend runs all throughout this prayer. It's all about dependence. I depend on God for guidance, and do not lead us into temptation. How many of you were led here this morning? I'm not talking, don't be spiritual like I was led of God to come to church. I mean, somebody actually led you here. They took you by the hand and they led you in. Not very many of you, maybe a couple of the teens. But most of you were not dragged through the door. Okay? I was out there for the most part. I watched people come through. You know, I didn't see anybody, you know, come on, you know, come on. You just sort of walked in here. But if you're going to be led, or someone's going to lead you, there's dependence there. You're depending upon them to lead you. You're depending on them for guidance. Guidance implies dependence. It does. And so when we say, lead us not into temptation, we're depending on God. We're saying, God, I don't really know exactly where to go. I don't really know exactly where all of these things in my life are going to happen, or even where this temptation could lead. But I'm just asking you not to lead me into it. I don't want to be led into temptation. I desire your guidance. And then number five, I depend on God for deliverance. Deliver us from the evil one. Again, deliverance implies dependence. I mean, if someone is a deliverer, that means I have to depend on them to deliver me. I have to depend on them to do something, whether it's rescue me, or whatever the case may be. I have to be, you all know the story about the life, I've never been a lifeguard, but the idea that I remember in some training and things that we got in the military was if you have to save somebody, many times you have to sort of wait until they're about ready to drown and then go get them. Because if you go get them early, they will fight you. They'll panic. They're in shock. They will fight you. They will try to drown you in the same situation in their panic. But if you wait till they're just about to go under, they'll depend on you. They have no more strength to fight you. And you can deliver them. When we sing a song like, "This is the air I breathe," it's a song that speaks to dependence. Spiritually, we need to get to that point where we're willing to depend on God to deliver us. So I don't need any deliverance. I can stand up to Satan on my own. Now you're probably already being beaten more than you even know. He's probably already got you. He's got you so ineffective. He's got you so uninterested in the things of God that you think that you've actually got victory over Him when it's the other way around. Deliverance implies dependence. Now, in the last couple of minutes, I want to try to get a little personal with you. I want you to think 6 weeks. I already asked you to think, how much time do you think you've spent in prayer? Now I want to ask yourself this question. How much time have you spent on Facebook? How much time have you spent on the internet? How much time have you watched television in the last 6 weeks? How does that stack up to the amount of time that you've prayed? Now, it's legalistic of me to stand up here and say to you that, well, you have to pray more than you do all of those things. I don't do that. I don't pray as much as I watch, well, maybe watch TV. I don't watch a lot of TV, but on my computer or reading articles or spending some time on Facebook. I'm sure if I stacked up the minutes in a week, I'm sure prayer is not the first thing that I do. But if you go through 6 weeks and you're coming up with numbers like an hour or 2 hours or 15 minutes, who are you depending on? Who are you depending on? Now, see, part of our problem is that many of you, some of you, I don't know how many of you, some of you haven't asked God to provide your daily bread in a long time. But you're still eating. And we think, well, I didn't pray yesterday and I ate. I'm pretty sure if I don't pray today, I'm going to eat. And that's probably true because God is gracious. But you're missing out on depending on God. I don't really pray for God to give me a job, and I got one. If I don't pray today, I'm probably not going to get fired tomorrow. That's probably true. But you're missing out. Again, you're performance-based in your prayers. You're missing out on God wanting you to be linked to Him in an intimate, dependent relationship. And what He's asking you to do is not read a 500-page book. He's not asking you to spend 3 hours in a closet somewhere praying. He's not asking you those things. He's simply asking you to depend on Him. And the best way that's going to happen is in prayer. Will we do it? A deep dependence on God. It's a circle. A deep dependence on God deepens your desire to pray. A pattern of prayer leads you to a deepening dependence on God. One feeds the other. And when you get on the wheel, it's not a bad wheel. It's a great wheel to get on. Because the more you depend on God, it deepens your desire to pray. The more you pray, it deepens your desire to depend on God. What are we waiting for? We have the God of the universe, the creator and sustainer of everything there is, who wants to talk to you. How many really, really important people want to talk to you? Not very many want to talk to me. But the most important being in this world desires for you to meet with Him each and every day so that He can grow your dependence upon Him, which is ultimately the best for you and me. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for these words. Lord, You are so good to us. You are so gracious that You do not empty our refrigerator when we forget to pray and thank You for our daily bread. You do not bind us in fits of suffering when we forget to forgive or when we refuse to forgive. But we should never presume upon Your grace. We should never presume upon Your mercy. Instead, we should see how You desire for us to be children of Yours. And children are dependent upon their parents. And You have revealed Yourself to us as a Father. You could have revealed Yourself to us as anything You wanted, but You chose to reveal Yourself to us as Father. And You so desire us to depend upon You. And really, the best way to do that is through prayer. So Father, I pray that You would move upon us. If we're praying, it's not about the minutes, unless the minutes are so few that they don't matter. Then it is about the minutes. Then it is about the commitment. But for some, it's just simply to continue and be exhorted and encouraged to pray, to continue to seek dependence upon You. But for some, it's a matter of getting started. It's a matter of following their Lord. And for others who have not yet trusted Christ, it's a matter of seeing that there is a God who has time to listen to you, to them, and who wants to work in their lives in every possible way. Father, grow our dependence upon You through prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.